Summertime is a good season for family reunions. I know there are some families who will have a great big feast, maybe a pig picking, and get extended family together. Other families just like to go to the beach with one another or to the mountains. Well, I'm playing off this theme in a sermon series that I'm calling Family Reunion. My hope is to focus on God's original chosen family, the Hebrew people. And we find their story in the book of Genesis. And today we'll look at a very messy family situation that involved Abraham and Sarah, as well as a woman named Hagar and her son Ishmael. The name Hagar literally means forsaken, which gives us a clue as to what's going to happen in this Bible passage. She is going to be kicked out of the family. And this story for me hits really hard this week after the actions of the Southern Baptist Convention. If you've not been following the news, then this will be new to you, but they have voted to disassociate with churches like ours. They don't want to be in fellowship with us. And for other churches that have women as pastors or associate pastors, and we have two. Taylor Crumley is our associate pastor, and Jane Pan is the pastor of the Chinese church. And by the way, Jane told me just last week that in China, there are more women pastors than men. It's women are playing a vitally important role in the work of God in this world. And I'm afraid the Southern Baptist Convention has missed out on that. And it hurts me, it grieves me, and it feels like we've been kicked out of the family. And that's why this passage, for me, hits pretty heavy today. Now, this passage is found in the 21st chapter of Genesis. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open there. I will read verses 8 through 21. Again, this is Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. And it starts by talking about a child. That child is Isaac. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. So the book of Genesis tells the story of how God's chosen family, the Hebrew people, got started. And the main story involves Abraham and Sarah and their son Isaac, because their descendants are the ones who became the people of Israel. And so when we read the account of Hagar and Ishmael, we might think of it as a side story because it doesn't involve the people who are part of this chosen family. But I think it's important that we recognize that there are no side stories with God. There's no insignificant people group because everybody matters to the Lord. Now, this narrative about Hagar and Ishmael tells us that God's concerns go beyond those who understand themselves as chosen. The Lord works for the good of everyone, and God will even jump into messy situations to make that happen. And what we find here in Genesis chapter 21 is indeed a very messy situation. To make sense of the mess, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 12. There we learn that God told Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. God had promised him offspring. However, time went by and nothing happened. Abraham and Sarah were getting older and they were beginning to doubt God's promise. So in Genesis chapter 16, Sarah took matters into her own hands. She took a shortcut. And I think we all know how that's going to work out, because we've learned that shortcuts aren't always a good idea. Sometimes they come with a hefty price tag. Years ago, when I was living in Richmond, Virginia, Victoria and I took a ski trip to Snowshoe, West Virginia. Now, this happened in what feels like ancient times, because as we were traveling there, we didn't have GPS in our car. We didn't have a GPS in our phone either. We had to rely on this thing called paper maps. I think everybody in this room except for my kids are aware of what those are like. You know, a friend of ours had made a bunch of trips to Snowshoe, and he suggested that we take a shortcut. And we decided to do that. This shortcut would carve off a bunch of miles from our trip. Seemed like a really good idea. So we set off for the mountains, and we followed this friend's directions. It was fine while we were driving along the interstate. There's a cue. But then we turned off the main road, and we got on a two-lane country road. It obviously had not been plowed for a while. There was snow on the ground, and the conditions only got worse as our elevation rose. It became a much icier situation. Now, I don't like driving in those conditions. And what made it worse is that shortcut put us on a serpentine road that zigged and zagged up and down mountains. It was a nerve-wracking experience, and I was exhausted by the time we finally got to the ski resort. I think it took a year off my life. Sometimes this is exactly what happens with shortcuts. They don't always work as well as we hoped they would. Now, the scripture tells us that Sarah took a shortcut by giving her slave Hagar to Abraham in order that she might bear a child for them. Now, that's disturbing in its own right, because who has the right to give away another person for the purpose of bearing a child? But apparently that was an acceptable practice back then. And Abraham took Hagar on as a secondary wife. Unfortunately, things didn't work out as they might have hoped. Genesis tells us that when Hagar conceived, she looked with contempt on Sarah. The tension between these two women was rising. And even though Hagar was a slave and a subordinate wife to Abraham, her pregnancy gave her a certain status over Sarah. And Sarah responded by treating Hagar harshly, which triggered Hagar to run out into the desert. And she only returned after an angel of the Lord visited with her. Well, with Hagar back in the fold, it looked like Sarah's plan was going to work after all. And in due time, Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, which meant Abraham now had an heir. That was the goal of Abraham and Sarah's scheme, wasn't it? But then messengers of God came to Abraham saying that he and Sarah will in fact have a son of their own. And that's what we talked about last week. God came to them and reiterated and clarified his promise that they will have a child. And that's what happened. Sarah gave birth to Isaac at the beginning of chapter 21. Now, this is the point at which things got really messy in that family. And if you're keeping track of time, then you know that Hagar and Ishmael had been part of this family for 14 years. Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael had lived together for those 14 years. They had shared meals together and done chores together. They had laughed and cried together. They celebrated birthdays and holidays together. And I'm sure they got on each other's nerves. That happens in families. But things took an ugly turn when Sarah suddenly grew jealous and fearful of Hagar and Ishmael. Now let's keep in mind that Sarah was the one who mistrusted God's promises, tried to take a shortcut, and dragged Hagar into her schemes. And yet she is the one who demanded that Hagar and Ishmael be kicked out of the family. Now, why would she do that? Well, Sarah didn't want any competition for her son's rightful inheritance, and Abraham wasn't willing to disagree with her. Even though Ishmael was his firstborn son, the preferential order of rank was given to the firstborn son of the primary wife of Sarah. Sarah used this to her advantage and demanded that Hagar and Ishmael be cast out of the family, which was disturbing to Abraham. But God reminded him that this is part of God's covenantal plan. In verse 12, God said to Abraham, "Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you." Now, this did not mean that God was unconcerned with Hagar and Ishmael. In fact, the Lord promised to make a great nation through Ishmael. And that reality shows us that God's inclusive love stretches beyond our comprehension. Just when we think we understand God's plan, God does the unexpected. Now, it's true that the Lord's covenant with Abraham and Sarah was fulfilled through Isaac. But God also had business with Hagar and Ishmael. God made a promise to them, and God kept that promise. Verse 20 tells us that God was with the boy Ishmael, and he grew up. In other words, God was with him throughout his days. God was with Ishmael and blessing him with his very presence. But we still can't help but feel the pain that Hagar and Ishmael must have experienced. You know, Sarah so desperately wanted God's promise to come true that she willingly took a shortcut, which then led her to act harshly toward Hagar and Ishmael. And it was because of Sarah's actions that their family and their home was torn apart. I think we're all familiar with stories of families that have been torn apart for one reason or another. Divorce has split many families apart in our country. But outside of our borders, a host of other issues tear families apart, like war, poverty, hunger, religious, political, and racial persecution. Many have to flee their homes, their villages, their countries. They become refugees. And women and children like Hagar and Ishmael are especially vulnerable. They're preyed on, and too many of them become victims of human trafficking. The plight of refugees is awful, and it should break our hearts. And while there are many factors that create situations in which people become refugees, I think one common thread is the lack of care for one's neighbor. You know, the occurrence of religious, political, or racial persecution indicates to me that people are unwilling to engage with the neighbors who look different, who think different, who are different in some way. They're unwilling to help them. They're only focused on the people who are just like them. They're only focused on their own well-being, their own preservation, their own success. They believe that will ensure their future. And I think one way to look at this is to say that people in this situation are simply taking a shortcut toward flourishing at the expense of their neighbor. But I think people are recognizing that we are better off when everyone else is better off. We're realizing that things like war, poverty, hunger, insecurity, and persecution always have a ripple effect. We may turn a blind eye to these things, but they're still there. And as long as they persist, it will continue to disrupt life by causing things like economic volatility to the migration of mass numbers of people. And we're seeing that at our borders and at borders in other countries. You know, Hagar and Ishmael were refugees. They were forced out of their family in their home, and it was a perilous situation, not different from the lives of many refugees today. Now, Hagar and Ishmael's survival was not guaranteed. Hagar had to carefully ration her water. And there's little doubt in my mind that she gave most of her water to her child. That's what parents do. And when it was all gone, she laid Ishmael under a bush, hoping for just a little shade, a little comfort before he died of thirst. She even walked a little ways off because she couldn't bear to watch him die. And that's when she started to cry. The Bible tells us that God always hears the cries of the outcast, the hurting, the suffering. And God did so with Hagar and Ishmael. Verses 17 and 18 say, "The angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him.'" I want to point out that Hagar was the only biblical matriarch specifically promised a great nation in her descendants. That says something important. And then after making that promise, God put a well of water in the middle of the desert so that Hagar and Ishmael could revive themselves. The point of this, of course, is that God gives hope. in the midst of desperate situations. And the Lord always, always keeps his promises, even when people try to take shortcuts. The good news in this story is that God did not agree with Sarah and Abraham's rejection of Hagar and Ishmael, even though they kicked them out of the family and cast them into the wilderness. God went looking for that young woman and her son. God spoke directly to Hagar, gave her water to drink, and promised to make a great nation of her son. Now, I find this a deeply reassuring story because there are times when we fail to trust God. We take matters into our own hands. We take shortcuts. And then sometimes those shortcuts hurt other people. And yet, God does not abandon us. God intervenes to redeem us and save us. In fact, God uses our shortcuts and our mistakes to bring about something new. The Apostle Paul shared a similar thought to the church in Rome. He said, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." God's plan and purpose includes blessing the whole world. The Lord is working to save and redeem everyone, and God will always make a way for that to happen. We, of course, sometimes make and take shortcuts because we think we know better. And yet that doesn't always work out well for us. Now, I think the takeaway from this story is simple. We're called to trust God. We're called to trust God's promise because God will make a way. And we demonstrate our trust by working for the good of our neighbors. And our neighbors certainly include the refugees in our midst. I encourage you this week to put your trust in God into action by working for the good of another person. Look for someone who might be suffering or in need. Ask them how you can help. Do something for them. Look out for your neighbor. And remember, shortcuts are not needed. Would you pray with me? God, we are sometimes a fearful people. We live like we don't trust you. We take matters into our own hands and act in selfish ways, which tends to hurt others. And Lord, when we have caused pain and conflict, we pray for your forgiveness. Help us grow in faithfulness. Help us trust you and your promises. And may we learn to demonstrate our trust in you by working for the good of others. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.